You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. I'm your host, Laura Alexander Wittig, CEO and founder of Brightly, the number one destination for conscious consumers around the world. At Good Together, we value the planet over perfection and believe that you can make positive things happen for the planet every day by being a conscious consumer and an informed citizen. Listen in as I chat with various experts about living and consuming responsibly. Good Together listeners, I'm so excited to welcome Eileen Makas, the CEO and president of Koyuchi, a brand that is introducing the world to organic fibers and eliminating the need for synthetic fibers. And I personally am such a nerd about all things textiles, specifically home-related textiles. So I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you so much, Eileen. So I wonder if you can just start us off by giving us a really brief intro of you and sort of your company.
Absolutely. So I'll start with Koyuchi. Koyuchi was founded in 1991. Our founder, Christine Nielsen, who has subsequently sold the business many years ago, she was involved with organic cotton, as well as had a personal passion for the craft of weaving textiles, and brought those two things together. We were actually in organic before organic was even a standard, and have continued to look at the ways that we can create the softest, most comfortable, and long-lasting home textiles using 100% organic cotton. And so that's really what still fuels our innovation and focus on how we can change the textile industry to be kinder to the planet.
Absolutely. And that was one of the reasons why I was so excited to talk with you is this company was one of the first, I feel like, just, you know, literally 1991, way before the current landscape as we know it, where there's so many companies coming out trying to really push the envelope in terms of sustainable textile innovation. So I think that's so fascinating. And really, what drew you to the company as a CEO?
Yeah. So my background was in fabric development very early on in my career. I worked for Patagonia right out of college and was introduced to kind of environmental impact of textiles. Even then, they did their first environmental assessment while I was at the company. And so some of those principles stayed with me while I continued to work in other parts of the industry, some time at the North Face, and then about 10 years at Williams-Sonoma as part of Pottery Barn Kids, and then PB Teen, also bringing organic cotton textiles to the Pottery Barn brands. And, you know, what I see at Koyuchi, I saw it 10 years ago and still see it today, as that opportunity to have an impact on how we can change how textiles are made in a way that is recognizing that we want a different future than what we're on the path toward today. There's so much opportunity in sustainable innovation, and feel like that's what we've invested in at Koyuchi and continue to want to make those investments for the future.
Well, and one thing that I find so interesting is that you have these backgrounds with other companies who, obviously, Patagonia is very well known for their commitment to the environment, but, you know, places like Pottery Barn, et cetera, aren't necessarily known for that. Although I personally feel like I've seen more sort of sustainable fair trade related options coming out from them recently. So I think that's fascinating that you're able to take that background and then now apply it to a company that really has been a leader, I would say, in the industry for a long time. So I wonder if you could tell me a little bit more about, how the brand pillars of your company really allow you to put sustainable practices in place. And the reason why I'm asking you this is because we get so many questions from our listeners all the time about greenwashing and how they can actually be sure that a company is quote unquote ethical and sustainable. So as we were doing some research on your brand, we came across those brand pillars. And so I'm curious to know, like, you know, how much this influences the way the company actually works.
That's a great question. And I can assure you that these brand pillars are a component of our development, our marketing, how we view, how we want to show up as a business today, and feel like they have been particularly grounding over the past 2 years, especially. So with organically grown, that's our first pillar and goes all the way back to our founding and a commitment to organic fibers. And we hold ourselves to the strictest standards around environmental and social responsibility as being part of following those organic standards. Then we move on to design with intent. Each Koyuchi product is planned with just a meticulous focus on the quality, the comfort, that's really the feel of the product, and timeless design, wanting it to have a sense of place that lasts beyond this moment in time.
Yes.
We're constantly focusing on what types of finishing agents do we need to use on our textiles. We're investing in plant-based softeners. We are monitoring the types of dye stuffs that we use so that we focus on low impact dye stuffs, the wastewater recycling initiatives at some of our facilities are something that we want to continue to support because those mills have made an investment in changing how they operate that is going to retain the water that we have available to us. So that design with intent is both the product and the process.
That's fascinating. And I know there's a few more. We'll do the next two in a second.
Sure.
But one thing that I think is so interesting about what you just said is the providing the catalyst for manufacturers to continue to operate from a sustainable point of view is so important because I feel like, I mean, unless you've been on the product sourcing end of things, like most listeners probably haven't, it can be really difficult to not only imagine a product that's better for the world, but actually get it created by a factory that shares those values. And oftentimes doing things the more eco-friendly way, whether it's, you know, reusing wastewater, like Eileen just talked about, or, you know, other materials, it can, you know, be more expensive sometimes, or it can require, who knows, the upgrading of equipment or changing the way staff does things. And so when a company comes forward and says, hey, this is how we'd like for you to manufacture things, and then you back it up by placing orders, maybe potentially helping with the equipment purchase, like that's really important. So I wonder if you could tell us even a little bit more about like how that actually works. Are you going out and finding factories that are already doing things like this, or are you trying to almost like convert existing factories to do more of this?
It's a little bit of both. So, you know, working in sustainability and I know most about it in textiles, but I think it's true everywhere. It's a continuum. And so you have companies like Koyuchi that we're further along. So we are asking a lot of questions of the vendors and manufacturers we work with, even manufacturers that we've worked with for 10 plus years, and they have put really great improvements in place, like the water recycling, have worked with us when we brought to them this plant-based softener and said, can you start using this on our product, and worked on trials for us so that they could implement that into their textile processing. And then, you know, we'll come up with new questions for them about, what are you... are you increasing the amount of recycling that you're able to do with your water? A couple of years ago, we worked on an initiative to find out what did all of our vendors do with the waste from the cutting of the textiles. And happy to discover that most of them had recycling options, that waste, textile waste, was going into a textile recycling stream as opposed to just filling up landfills. So it's a constant dialogue, and it's a great mix of sometimes the vendors are coming to us with things that they have found, changes that they're making in their facilities, and other times we're asking them to look at different opportunities that we've discovered.
That's fascinating. And I think it's so, so interesting to think about how this really does affect the supply chain, because the supply chain is something that people say often and they don't really understand what it means. It actually kind of goes into your next brand principle, which is, you're committed to people. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, how are you working with the human beings behind the product?
The commitment to people came from our fair trade commitments. Koyuchi's been working with fair trade organic cotton for about 15 years, and then have partnered with Fair Trade USA, which has implemented a factory standard, and I believe that was in about 2014. And that's the origin of that standard, or that brand pillar for Koyuchi. And then we have continued to extend that because we don't do what we do on our own. We are fortunate to work with amazing factories that have generations of textile knowledge in some instances. And we want to tap into that artistry and expertise that exists in a sheeting mill in Portugal that has some of the highest end weaving and dyeing and finishing equipment. And that allows us to bring that to our customers and create this amazing product, all the way to, in some instances, a hand weaver in India, where there's an artistry that we don't want to see disappear. And then all of it, making sure that we're acknowledging that fair wages are important, that there's a give back component to whether it's to the farm groups that we work with or within our community here in San Francisco. So we're trying to extend what that commitment to people means based on the part of the Koyuchi community that we're interacting with.
Yeah, I mean, I love that because to me, again, people know about the term fair trade. They don't 100% know how it maps back. I know you have one more brand pillar that discusses your sort of local, experience. It says that you're inspired by the coast. You are founded in California and have a really strong tie to your local, your local environment. I think before we get into that, or maybe we'll end up, covering that at the end, I kind of want to delve a little bit more into fair trade because I feel like your company was also very early on in terms of influencing the way that certification has grown and sort of providing a case study for them to utilize. So tell me a little bit more about your involvement with fair trade. Maybe you can explain a little bit more about what fair trade certified means to our community, because I feel like that's a label that people are now trying to seek out, but maybe they're not 100% sure about what it actually means.
Absolutely. Fair trade's an important standard for Koyuchi, and really, really pleased that we've been partners with Fair Trade for such a long time. Fair Trade certified provides traceable and transparent supply chains, and they do that with the intent of providing sustainable livelihoods to the people that create our products or any of the other Fair Trade certified products. The essential program is that the initiatives implement income equality within the community. So when we commit to a fair trade, whether it's the cotton that we're using or a finished product, a portion of what the consumer is paying for the product will go directly back to the workers that are growing or producing that product for Koyuchi. And that group within the organization, the factory or the farm, they are allowed to assemble, and it is their choice what those dollars get spent on to provide some sort of improvement within their community. And so it's very kind of worker-driven that the funds go back to them and they decide the impact that they want those dollars to represent for their community.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I just being able to tie things back to the community as we think about supply chains is so interesting. I wonder if you could maybe tell us even a little bit more about some of the other certifications that your brand follows and has. One that I think for me, it seems to be a little bit newer, or at least new to me, is the Made Safe seal. Can you tell us a little bit about what that one is?
The Made Safe seal confirms that a household product is free of any and all toxins of known or suspected harm to humans, animals, or ecosystems. So there's a lot of science behind that standard, and the certified products have been thoroughly examined, often leaning on other certifications. So for us, it goes hand in hand with our GOTS certification as well. But, you know, this sense that the products that we could be encountering could have all sorts of different toxins, carcinogens, endocrine disruptors, heavy metals, flame retardants, harmful VOCs, those are volatile organic compounds. That's usually a scent that is an indicator of a potential VOC. All of those are things that we don't necessarily have control over the environment around us that's immediate in our home. And so the Made Safe certification was something that we wanted to adopt that went that step further to address our consumers' environment, where the GOTS, the Global Organic Textile Standard, has a positive benefit for the consumer because the inputs are known and known to be safe. But it also has this environmental and protection of the worker for the environment that they're working in. And so Made Safe carries that all the way through to the consumer.
That's fascinating. And honestly, I think what's so interesting to think about from a certification perspective is, you know, the way that each one of these can tackle different components of the finished product. And actually in our sort of in our show notes and the prep that we're doing for this episode, we noticed you have got a GOTS standard, the Global Organic Textile Standard, attached to your products, but you do not have, and I'll feel like I say this wrong every time, Okotex, Ecotex? How do you say that? What
about yeah, I think the kind of American pronunciation is Okotex, and okay. Then sometimes in Europe you hear Ecotex.
Okay, okay.
But it's the O-E-K-O.
There we go. Well, thank you for helping me with that one. But that one is one that you guys kind of noted in the show notes that you're frequently asked about, like, why you don't have that in addition to your GOTS certification. So tell me a little bit about about that. Like, tell me a little bit about that confusion and let's talk about it a little bit. It's interesting.
So the Global Organic Textile Standard is specific to organic textiles. So much the same way that if you buy a organic loaf of bread, you're talking about organic ingredients and requirements that allow you to say that that product was produced organically. The Global Organic Textile Standard provides that for textiles. That has a monitoring of the inputs, you know, the dye stuffs that we use, any of the finishing agents, everything has to be certified by GOTS as an input, along with the processing steps as well. And so Okotex, while it has some overlap in terms of their monitoring the processing, they're monitoring the facility. They are an evaluation at the end of a processing cycle, and that the product is deemed by their standard as safe. It is not specific to any sort of sustainability standard or organic product. So we have viewed GOTS as the organic standard and aren't as positive around the benefits of Okotex because it isn't necessarily tied to what we're invested in, which is organic, environmentally friendly, safe for the worker.
Absolutely. I mean, so that is really interesting. And I feel like there's so many certifications that people are looking for or ones that are confusing people. And so you had some really interesting thoughts about, you know, about certifications in general. So tell me a little bit more about that and maybe give us a few tips that you actually go through when you go out to shop for new things.
Happy to do that. So certifications are critically important because they're verification of what we say we do. So for Koyuchi, that's organic and it's health and safety of the people that are making our products. So we want the GOTS certification because that helps us verify what's going on in our supply chain and as well as made safe around what is really in that product and confirming that it's safe for our customers. So there isn't really a one size fits all. And I think that does create some confusion for consumers because there's so many different labels that they would look for. When looking specifically at how consumers can support businesses that are committed to sustainability, those certifications are going to matter. Then it's understanding that if you're looking for organic textiles, you're going to want to look for GOTS. We also support the GOLS standard because we do organic latex. If you're going to purchase latex products, look for GOLS. And then, you know, other elements of what I would suggest that consumers are looking for, those shopping tips that I focus on, I do believe that the quality that you're purchasing has a much larger environmental impact than kind of all the certifications added up, because the longer that you own something, the less we're consuming and the less we're kind of filling up the landfills. And so that's challenging because oftentimes, you know, the higher quality may come at a higher cost. But by the same token, it's really got one of the key elements of sustainability, which is managing our consumption. And, you know, I would also say that, you know, we're huge fans of organic and also natural fibers. That allows us to make sure that, you know, those microplastics that are showing up in the oceans that are coming out through the laundry, we want to prevent that element of these kind of persistent plastics that exist in our world. And, you know, one of the beauties of buying organic textiles is that it can eventually be composted if you really had nothing else you could do with it. I'd argue that you could renew and recycle first,
yes.
but it is still a possibility. And, you know, my other concern is certainly the greenwashing and what surfaces and textiles and, you know, kind of overstating some of the claims of different fibers and materials. You know, bamboo is always one that comes to mind. It's rayon. There's a lot of chemical processing that goes into converting that bamboo into a textile, and it's not really a natural fiber. It's not classified by the Federal Trade Commission as a fiber. The fiber is rayon. So those are the things that start to concern me, because I think there is an opportunity to share with the consumer how to bring the things that they love, that will bring them comfort, that will wear well year after year, that timeless design that I mentioned before. Those are all the things that really allow us to kind of love the place that we live. And how do we do that with as minimal harm as possible?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And bamboo is something that's particularly problematic. I feel like we, as a company at Brightly, like we do love a good soft bamboo related item, but we also recognize that, you know, oftentimes it's really not created with the best of, well, it's maybe created with the best of intentions, but it's certainly not created with the best of supply chain or practices. There are a few companies out there that are innovating in the space, like Attitude. I feel like they're doing a good job trying to make that process less harmful, but I totally hear you on that. Speaking of waste, because you kind of ended with that, I'm also like obsessed with getting people to recycle things and like reuse them in ways around their home rather than just like chucking them into a donation bin and things like that. So we read that Koichi has a really interesting new circular initiative, which is really interesting to me. So what is this new initiative? How are you closing the loop on textile waste?
Back in 2017, Koichi kicked off our Second Home Take Back program. And that's also now a Second Home Renewed program. We are taking back any of our product that our consumers have purchased over the years. And our first initiative is to renew that product, careful laundering and evaluation process to make sure that the product is still going to be serviceable for our customers. And then we're reselling that product on our renewed website. And, you know, part of the program on the take back side is an incentive for the customer that's been using that product for a few years, and we're giving them 15% off their next purchase in exchange for sending it back. And then in addition to what we're doing once the product has been renewed, we're looking at how do we then take the roughly 20% of product that is not able to be renewed, and how do we insert that into new Koichi product? And that's the close the loop component of what we're doing. So when we build up enough of that volume, and it does take a little time because you need to gather enough product that you can then recycle that. We combine it with organic cotton from our regular organic sources and created our full circle blanket, which is using both organic fiber and the recycled content from our own product. And it's definitely kind of a newer initiative for Koyuchi. We are looking to be able to do more of this type of development in the future because it really connects the dots between how our product is being used and how we expect to make product in the future, kind of making the most out of the raw materials that we have in the world today.
Absolutely. I actually feel like the circular economy, specifically as it relates to textiles, is still so much in its infancy. I think we as a society have gotten so used to the temporary throwaway fast fashion pieces that make up our lives. It's something that we haven't realized is a problem, but to those in the industry like yourself, we recognize that the problem is here. It's been here for a really long time. And so there really is something that I'm excited to see more progress on in the future. And I guess to kind of close us out, you know, we typically like to, you know, kind of end on some exciting, you know, thoughts around the future and the world. So what do you feel like the future of textile specifically looks like from your perspective?
Yeah, I think that there's so much opportunity with the innovation that is possible in both, whether I look at it from the broader perspective of sustainable textiles or the investment that's going on in the agricultural practices that grow our cotton fiber, that provide us with our climate beneficial wool, really investing in the research that will help us to kind of build healthy soil and change the trajectory that we're on as a planet. And, you know, kind of going back to basics of what goes on the land. And so not as, it's a different perspective on how to influence what happens in textiles, but feel like that's the area that gets me excited, because if we can continue to invest in the agricultural side and then work with the mills that are tapping into how they can use different energy sources, focus on the water that they're using, change the types of chemistry that they're using, if it's more plant-based versus petroleum-based, those are pretty exciting changes in what is typically a very traditional industry. You know, weaving equipment hasn't changed a lot. The mechanics of how you make textiles doesn't change, but the inputs that we're able to use are just a huge opportunity for changing the systems for the better. And ultimately, those products have the ability to be better for the consumer as well. And when I say better, I'm talking about the performance of the fabrics, the longevity, the comfort, you know, all the things that we want out of our clothes and our home textiles. So, you know, I get pretty excited about what those possibilities look like, and really excited to see that our efforts are also kind of making a difference as we recognize that other, you know, we can be a leader, and things that we do, we get to see other companies start to do as well, and need that kind of momentum and the collaboration within the industry.
Absolutely. It's just, for me, it's, you know, just being able to think about the change you're able to affect both on a company level and then also from like an influence perspective, and being able to set the tone for other people in the industry is just really exciting. And I think is something that, you know, I'm excited to see more of. So final question for you, Eileen. We asked the same question to all of our guests right before we sign off, but from your perspective, either as, you know, the CEO of this amazing company or as an individual or both, what is exciting you the most about what you're witnessing with the ethical and sustainable lifestyle movement going on right now?
You know, I think what I get most excited about is the adoption of secondhand from the consumer side and renew resale from the brand perspective. You know, when we launched our second home program, it was Patagonia and Eileen Fisher. They were the examples we looked to. And, you know, now it's almost every fashion brand. You know, you've got Levi's to Lululemon and kind of everything in between. And that's having a huge impact. If I think about where Koyuchi was at when we started those initiatives and then recognizing what was possible in circularity, I'm pretty optimistic that those brands are on their first step as well. And the consumer is interested in seeing that transition because it opens up a different way for them to shop, to express individuality. So I see that as just one of the real positives that's happening right now that we can all be part of.
Same here. I think it's just really, really exciting to see consumer sentiment, you know, coming around to the idea of doing things better. And we're really excited to see more companies like Koyuchi just come up and really change the world. So, Eileen, I wanted to thank you so much for appearing on the podcast. Listeners, we'll include links to, you know, check out all of Koyuchi's products and to read more about how they do things in our show notes. So yes, Eileen, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for putting together all these topics that really help us all look at the way that we're living and the opportunities there.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. To get show notes and more, head to brightly.eco/podcast. And as a special thank you to our listeners, use code GOODTOGETHER to get 10% off all products in Brightly's brand new shop full of planet-positive swaps for your home. Finally, don't forget to join in on the conversation with us on social, where I know you can find us at brightly.eco. Don't forget, we're all on this journey together, so have fun putting the planet first and stay curious.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.